Imagine if Paul McCartney had said, I want to be an e-book writer instead of a paperback author. The times are changing. And here's one sign of the changing
e-book
times.
E-book writer. You can do it.
E-book, right? Yeah, you need a few more syllables.
You just have to hold the E.
Yeah. Dorchester Publishing, an independent publisher specializing in mass market paperback fiction, recently announced that it's moving to an e-book first model. From now on, they will only publish their paperbacks as e-books, and you can then get a print-on-demand run of the trade paperbacks. So what does that mean? Maybe nothing, maybe a lot. Can we expect to see other publishing companies doing the same? To answer that, we've got Jason Bogue with us. He's the editor of the publishing blogs eNewser.com and GalleyCat.com, and an expectant father, husband of one of our web producers, Caitlin Schemmer. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And also with us, Nancy Davenport, director of library services for the District of Columbia. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Jason, first answer this question I just asked, whether or not we're expecting other publishing companies to follow suit, or this is just Dorchester's oddity.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely the beginning of a much larger movement. This is mass market paperbacks. They're the books that you see at garage sales, you see on the beach. They're the skinny little paperbacks people take everywhere. They're disposable books. And that market's been down all year. In May, it was down 14.6% compared to last year. April, it was down 17.7% compared to last year. E-books are going up 162% that same period compared to last year. So it's the beginning of a much larger movement, I think.
But are we expecting to see the new Stephen King coming out only in ebook first? The new Tom Clancy?
Oh, no. Hardcovers are holding steady. It's still a very strong market. But I think the disposable books, I think this is going to hurt garage sales. It's going to change beach reading, things like that. We're going to see those paperbacks going away. The things that we used to throw away, why not just put that on an e-reader for a cheaper price?
Well, Nancy, one of the reasons you're here is because anytime we talk about books, it's hard not to factor libraries into this. One of our producers spoke with Gregory Wise. He's a librarian from Digital Harbor High School in Baltimore. And he's a proponent. He likes ebooks and he wants his students to use them, but he doesn't think he's going to be replacing his books on the shelf soon.
I don't see ebooks infiltrating my school library in the immediate future because funds are so restrained at the moment for any kinds of purchases made by schools. But I certainly do in the long distance future. I think that we will see e-books coming to replace a lot of print editions.
Nancy, I know libraries are often cautious about embracing new technology. You don't want to end up having to replace all your VHS with DVDs again, right? But do you see e-books being used by libraries?
E-books are already being used by libraries, both in two forms, the tangible form in the sense of a recorded book on disk or on an MP3 player, and then the downloadables. And I think ours is a little different than a curriculum. When you go into a curriculum as in a school-based place, you have to be able to support every single student in precisely the same way. Public library can take some risk. We can go out and see how do our users, our little marketplace, take to this. Should we buy more of this or less of this?
And what's it telling you, Nancy?
What it's telling us is that there's an array of users right now who have different levels of comfort with different kinds of technology. Some for the hardback book, the paperback book, the downloadable. How do you want to read your downloadable? Can you do it on an iPhone, or do you want it on a full-size computer screen? Or do you want it in audio? And what are your options there?
Well, it's interesting.
So we're always looking at how do you divide this.
And libraries are kind of test markets. They're sort of giving us an indication, early data, on how users are going to use these sorts of things. I mean, thinking about paperbacks, Jason, I mean, paperbacks rely on huge volume to get the profit, and there isn't a huge volume of e-readers out there, so it seems to me there's a lag time between when there will be enough e-readers to support the business model of paperbacks, and so Davenport's taking a real risk here. Or not Davenport, the publisher that you talked about.
Well, Dorchester's actually minimizing their risk, because up until now, you had to have a 5,000 minimum print run to do anything, and now they can, with print on demand, they can print as many or as little copies as they need, and I think that's going to really change things. And for e-readers, I mean, the Kindle's now $139, the Nook's now $149. It's a huge price war going on right now, and as the price goes down, you're gonna see a lot more e-readers out there. And Kindle's already, they said they sold out their first run of the $139 Kindles. So,
but I mean, doesn't this change the kind of manufacturing of a book? I mean, especially for you, Nancy, walking into the library and as a kid with your parents and browsing the shelves and looking for the cover art that makes you want to read that book, won't that go away?
That is one of the parts that goes away a little bit, because the browser doesn't have anything that attracts the eye. That's not the color, the flash that you see with the cover art of a book now. What you're going back to is a bit more of a reliance on a catalog. Olden days, you would walk in and see those rows and rows of 3x5 cards. Now it's an electronic catalog. So the e-reader is searching the e-catalog to be able to find and then download the books. But we still want to be able to attract that casual reader who's looking for something that just sparks their interest. And I think there we're going to be looking at what do we put on shelves and how are those shelves are arranged. Bookstores will have the same sort of dichotomy of you can shop our shelves from home, but if you come in our store, we want you to see what we have available.
Jason?
Yeah, I think the e-catalogs are fascinating places. You have blogs now for romances, for instance, which is a huge category for mass market paperbacks. You have big blogs like Dear Author and Smart Bitches, Trashy Books, and these places have these very passionate users who are sharing lots and lots of e-books with each other, and people are reading at a much higher rate, and I think it's fascinating to watch these communities grow, and I think we're going to see more of that.
Well, what does this say about the traditional bookstores? I mean, last week the Board of Barnes & Noble announced they're putting the company up for sale. Is that connected to this trend?
Oh, absolutely. I think bookstores are going to have to go towards their more community-based functions. They're going to have to focus on the fact that they have readings and the fact that they're centers for events and places where readers come together because they want to meet other readers in real life.
Well, Nancy, what do you think in terms of encouraging people to use e-books? Is that something that libraries should take part in, or should they just offer it?
Oh, I think we take part in it. We offer every kind of reading device and reading material that we have available, trying to find the right one for the right person. Anything that gets a kid to read keeps them on target in school and moves them ahead. And the same way with adults. It's where do we keep our interest area? I guess it's what you've described before is that bookstores are going to look a little bit more like libraries.
Which is great.
Community-based.
Which is great. I mean, I always worry about libraries when I see all those people sitting around Barnes & Noble drinking coffee and reading books.
Well, they don't let you drink coffee in the library.
Drink coffee and read books, too. You're very welcome.
All right.
Well,
I'll
Nancy
be there.
Davenport's the Director of Library Services for the District of Columbia. Jason Bogue, the editor of GalleyCat.com and ebooknewser.com.